So I'm not opposed to the use, although I think citywide, it's a concern for me, and I was hoping we were coming back with something a little more particular to this. It's sort of what I asked for when I said I was mixed at the time when it went out to the city attorney. I'm still mixed because I don't think that it it ended up with the result that I thought it would, more particular for this location. It's too citywide of a motion for me to be able to support.
Alderman Mayor, and then let's try to wrap this up.
Being the expert and being put in bad situations, being the alderman of District 2, I think I can speak to this. We do our job every time we make a decision, and some of them are not easy. And I'm not going to put off a decision to make it easier down the road when there's a right decision to do today. I think this is a good thing to come into an area that needs traffic. It needs somebody to lease the area. I think this is a good, clean tenant. It's going to be a very good professional tenant for the area and a good influence on the whole area. I think it's a good thing to do. I think the way Joel and staff put this together works out to everybody's benefit. I think we need to move forward on this.
Alderman Taylor. And then let's go.
Yeah, that's fine. Real quick, just for clarification, and that the taxes are still being paid.
Correct.
So you said, I heard Alderman from the 5th District say that, you know, when you have the tax revenue, well, the tax revenue is still coming in because they're just leasing this space in this building. So nothing's changed. We're still collecting the same amount from O'Malley Investments. So that is still the same thing. And I really question when we talk about citywide. On page 74, we have a map of the city, 34 point some miles. It's not 36 because we had it whittled away from Greendale back in the day. But if you take a look at that, and on page 74, it shows you the small areas within the city that have the B3. So I don't see this as a citywide problem. Unless you want to go around the community and start rezoning everything to B3. There's only so many spots that are B3, and the thing is, most of it is either A, it's already has occupied, it's already occupied, so you'd have the same situation of a religious organization leasing a space but in a different B3 area, or B, it's on such a heavily commercial corridor or economic corridor that I just believe the cost is going to be just exorbitant, that you're not going to have that problem. So when you hear this as a citywide thing, when you look at where the B3s are located citywide, it's really not going to be an issue. You're not going to have this flooding, you know, of religious organizations coming in and picking off those areas. And how many more are we going to have? I mean, you know, at some point, does it end? I don't know. Probably not. But the reality is, take a look at those dark black areas and tell me one of them is on Oakwood Road and I don't even know what that is. It's Oakwood and something.
92nd?
Yeah. Okay, so that's in the middle of nowhere. So, I mean, if you go and...
Suzanne's backyard.
It is my backyard.
Yeah, it is. So you start looking at where these are potential for them, and it's just not going to be a flood. This is not Pandora's box. I really don't think so. And we're collecting the taxes still. So, you know, I think this is the right thing to do.
Really?
Yes, really.
Yeah.
I'm going to offer comment to it. Part of the conditions that the council... You too, Alderman? Jeez. All right, we're going to open this up forever. Part of the conditions that the council asked for last time round was that the applicant meet with me and staff to try to find a different location. I didn't get a call, so just so everybody knows. Alderman Mayor, and then Alderman Wilhelm, then Alderman Dandrea, then we're done.
I just want to, looking at the map, yes, this is the zoning map, but when you look at the comprehensive master plan, you could potentially have a heck of a lot more black on that map.
Two steps would be required, one to rezone and one to approve the project. I guess comp plan shows more commercial than
Right, you have to go around rezone. Why are we doing this?
Well, I'm just making a point that this isn't the be-all and end-all of B3.
Right.
Franklin is very developable, and that this map could change drastically. I just don't want to get like a hodgepodge of stuff that, you know, doesn't fit together. It'd be nice to start getting, something that actually works with the city of Franklin. But, I mean, I'm not opposed to the use of that building either. I understand that we're still getting the tax money on it. I do have a concern of the ripple effect of making a decision and then, having councils, 50 years into the future still trying to determine whether or not they should be doing this stuff. So
I don't remember who I said first.
You said
Alderman Willem.
Yeah.
Joel, based on Alderman Taylor's comment about how many would we have we not had them because they've been told that it would not be allowed in an area, and that's why we haven't had them, and this one is just come forward?
One that I was aware of, so the last 10 years, one that I was aware of, that officially was asking for the one on Highway 100 close to Greendale, that shopping center.
Garden Plaza.
So there have been some, but not a lot.
We have had other unofficial inquiries. They were asking about a whole bunch of potential locations, which included
the Okay.
But not just the
Okay. So I guess the amount of them becomes downplayed a little bit less of a concern for me in that area. Okay.
Probably three or four others that were looking at B3 and other places.
And as far as the special use, we can put a time frame on that special use, correct?
City attorney intended it or noted or the motion intends it.
Okay. That's also a helpful plus in their favor. I think I have the floor. I hear a lot of talking going on.
I just called them.
And then it bothers me because I lose my train of thought and then everybody gets frustrated because I'm not talking fast enough and getting my points across. So the less you interrupt me, the easier it is for me to not lose my train of thought. And one other thing, I know the mayor said, that's it, we're done. I'm not aware that, I thought it's the council's preview, if they want to continue debate, that they can continue debate until the question is called and that is voted on to end debate. As long as the council wants to debate, there should be allowed to debate under Robert's Rules of Order, as far as what I've always known. So,
well, actually, the debate happens after the motion, but not after the second. And we're in the middle of the second. The discussion should only be on the motion, on the wording of the motion. We haven't had that practice. I'm just
That's
trying
right.
to move it along.
Yeah, I understand that.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Well, I'll make it quick. Page 74 does show the B3 area. What we don't have a map of is the five other zoning districts that would show a lot more available space where this church could locate, number one. Number two, in regards to this location, I'm not in favor of it because I know that this is a area that we are targeting highly to look at trying to redevelop in this area. I know there's a time frame on it, time constraint on it. I'm just not in favor of doing that or going down this path of opening up all our B3s, especially. And what we're doing is we're kicking it down the road again. We're saying now it's going to come back to us as a special use. I got to revisit it again in planning, okay? Planning turned it down. So that's it.
Okay. All right. Roll call on this?
Sure.
Clerk? All those in favor, roll call, please. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, let's do it that way.
Alderman Mayor?
No.
I'm sorry, was that a no?
It was a no, okay. Sorry.
Alderman Barber?
No.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
No.
Alderman Mayer?
Yes.
Alderman Dandria?
No.
A motion fails. The vote is 2 ayes, 4 noes, no absent, no abstentions. Okay. Mr. City Attorney.
Staff would recommend then the alternate motion, Romanet 1, just the middle motion on page 58, which is a motion to direct staff to prepare the legislative process with regard to all the other membership organizations currently in the B3 district to delete those as permitted uses in the district.
We're talking about small I. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second? Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, there's a second. Discussion of the motion. All right. All those in favor of the motion, and we will do a roll call. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 No. Any opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandridge?
Aye.
Alderman Mayer?
No.
Alderwoman Wilhelm?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
No.
Alderman Barber?
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer?
Aye.
Motion carries 4 ayes, 2 noes, no absent, no abstentions. Okay, we'll move on to item G7, a report from Aaron Hertzberg, our Director of Economic Development.
Thank you. Yep. Oh, you can do that.
You guys want to take 5 minutes? No? No? Good. All right. Alderman Wilhelm has left hers. But we'll continue.
Sure. Thank you for having me tonight to talk about economic development stuff. I started here at the beginning of November. I've been working on a lot of stuff since then. This sort of gives you an overview of some of the stuff we've been working on. I have with me Craig Haskins, who's the chair of the Economic Development Commission, for support and to address any questions that may come up.
And Alderman Wilhelm has returned.
Just a real quick overview. You stated in the comprehensive plan, purpose behind economic development, guiding principles, things of that nature. Fairly straightforward stuff. Business attraction, retention, expansion, stabilizing tax base, job creation, decreasing homeowner tax burden, things of that nature. The Economic Development Commission itself, stated purposes at the top there. Promote enhanced city, again, a lot of overlap with goals and comprehensive plan. The other thing that we've been trying to do with the Economic Development Commission is work through our agendas, but also have a monthly topic of discussion so we can focus and keep ourselves moving forward and challenging ourselves to explore some new areas. We continue to track and review materials related to the Ballpark Commons project. We've done discussions on retail recruitment and the Buxton contract that we had and some of the data we were able to pull out of that contract before we made the recommendation to the council to cancel it. We're working with the Franklin Business Park Consortium to put together what will likely be an October event. It's a business appreciation event. Stay tuned for details on dates. I'll be checking with you all soon with regards to that. But looking to draw attention to some of the good work that our businesses in our community are doing and sort of provide some networking opportunities to help maintain and grow those relationships with those folks. Discuss vacant developable lands, branding and marketing, and we'll be getting into conversations about some room tax and tourism stuff in the near future here. It's a real quick SWOT analysis on Franklin. Strengths, the Chicago-Milwaukee corridor is sort of the growth corridor that we're seeing a lot now in the development industry. Several of the conferences I've been at, commercial real estate folks I've been speaking to, they're seeing a lot of activity in this. We see it just staying tuned to the newspapers. There's been a lot of northern expansion in Milwaukee Metro, a lot of western expansion in previous years, but we're starting to see things carry over the Illinois line and starting to come south out of the Milwaukee Metro. And there's an expectation that'll continue over the time. Good infrastructure access here in Franklin. It's still a community of desire. High median incomes, quality of life, quality schools, parks, trails, things of that nature, and some good high-value commercial properties here as well. Another big strength is we're in an active development market. Weaknesses. this is a, becomes a difficult conversation, but it's one that I think percolates throughout council conversations as development projects come forward. Frequently, our expectations are out of line with market realities. We've got limited visibility in 94, which is a challenge relative to some of our peer communities that surround us. We've got lack of residential density and core focus area that's needed for retail. I'll get into that in a second. In general, when I speak to people, our comprehensive plan and design standards in much of the city are looked at not as a guide but as a hurdle. And that relates right back to those expectations. You know, we go through comprehensive planning processes at various stages of the development cycle. But it's now probably a time to revisit some of those standards and some of the zoning districts that we have to more appropriately align with market realities if we want to see those properties develop. To that end, in conversations with folks in commercial development community as well as existing developers and businesses in Franklin, I'm hearing that we've got a challenging development process. The process that we work through here with neighborhood meetings, concept reviews, and leading into public hearings, while we want to value all that community input, it creates a lack of predictability from the development community in many instances and extends the timeline of a project, which can, in some cases, be detrimental. Staff and regulatory review processes are often extensive, and those processes create opportunities for inconsistencies. Inconsistencies lead to lack of predictability, and lack of predictability leads to the inability to streamline processes here. And so these are all things that we're getting feedback as a group and me personally about challenges when they're facing development here. To that end, further, taxes, impact fees, and standards relative to peer communities from my understanding of the area are looked at as challenges. And again, these things are all sort of interrelated challenges. Threats to the area. There's a national trend that's been going on for some time now, and we're seeing it here in Milwaukee Metro and in Franklin, a shifting from suburban preferences to urban preferences. That doesn't mean that we're looking to build downtown centers, the scale of Milwaukee in cities like Franklin. It means that we're trying to provide access to urban preferences in a suburban setting. And there's a strong desire for that. You're seeing it in the marketplace. When you look at places like 84 South, you're looking at projects like Drexel Town Square or Mequon Town Center, just in the Milwaukee metro area, that's trying to provide urban preferences within within a suburban setting. And more we're hearing from millennial and boomer populations that there's a desire to, if not live or work near those locations, but have access to them. You know, there's a lot of theory around this, but we're definitely hearing it in residential markets and office markets, and increasingly we're hearing it even from manufacturers, that they're looking for questions to us about where do I grab lunch, where do I grab coffee, where do we grab a beer after work. Those are quality of life issues that start to impact interest in development in a community like Franklin. Again, a threat to us is active neighborhood communities. You know, it's no secret that there's a lot of development occurring to our north and to our east. A lot of that is about access. It's about visibility. It's about traffic counts. It's about providing opportunities to access some of those urban preferences. And so we need to think about what impacts that could have in our community. Business parks as well, seeing lots of activity in surrounding communities, particularly to our east and south, where there's activity around business parks. And we'll get into that in a second as well. Opportunities, you know, this concept of providing urban preferences, I like to use the language of activity hubs, hubs of activity, programmed hubs of activity spaces. In my opinion, aligns very closely with some of the stated goals that I hear Franklin folks talking about maximizing development values per acre, talking about improvement of city services and taking advantage of existing infrastructure. It's compatible, thinking big picture thinking here, it's compatible with environmental preservation. If you can create some density and scale here, it provides better opportunity to preserve more open space in another area of the city. And it's a desirable place for quality retail. I hear a lot of pressure from the community that are demanding retail. And these are the types of settings where we're seeing good quality retail You know, our regional restaurant groups, our niche coffee shops and things that I hear a lot of folks talk about, these are the types of settings that these folks want to be in. We've got great vacant developable land available in the city. We've got some good area existing plans we can work and build on. And there's demand for multifamily, manufacturing, industrial, and single-family homes in suburban settings like ours, if we can capitalize on those opportunities. Little historical look back here. The Tickner Report in 2001 outlined a couple of areas. Over time, we've added in some additional areas of that to the city. Excuse my rough sketches over historic maps. We have had some good activity along the 27th Street corridor, some high-value development that's occurred. But I think it's always an opportunity to revisit these planning districts and challenge ourselves to think about how we maximize those values and attract the type of development we want to see in this community. You guys are pretty well up to speed on Area A, what's going on there, obviously the Ballpark Commons project. But good, strong traffic counts, good retail clustering. We definitely can build in that area. There's some infill opportunities for residential, build on that retail cluster, looking at some destination drivers, which the Ballpark Commons project tries to accomplish to help add value to that district. Crossroads Trade Area, you know, this is a good area. You got some decent traffic counts in that area, proposed for mixed-use office and residential. There are significant wetland issues that we've got to figure out how we navigate, which I think would be a really interesting conversation for us to have as a community. And there's some stigma out there about that big box site there to the east on this map, the former Meyer development site. And we've got to figure out how we reintroduce this location to the marketplace and demonstrate that we're willing to move forward with a particular style of development and go out and figure out how we're going to go out and recruit that. 76 and Ryan, I put this in here because we've talked to a handful of folks just recently who have interest in this area or bringing it back onto the table for conversations. Previously in the Tickner Report back in 2001, it was suggested for a business park. At that time, it said likely not in the near future. I think that remains true today, but that doesn't mean there aren't good viable uses for that area. And it's probably an area we need to revisit as a community, figure out how we want to activate a lot of good vacant developable land out there. Area G, again, we've had some mixed interest over the last 9 or so months that I've been in town. Limited traffic counts in this area, but you know, back to that Area G report, proposed industrial neighborhood retail, and some single-family opportunities. So we'll continue to vet this and talk to development community about opportunities. Area D, I know this was a hot topic of conversation before I came to town, and I've spoken to many folks about this. But there's definitely potential out there. We do hear mixed interest for industrial development in this area. So there's still interest, I think, from the development community in a business park in this area. And it'll be interesting to continue to have that conversation as we move forward here. The other great thing about this site is it's one of the few sites in Franklin where we do have visible access from 94. You get the opportunity for some showcase piece. I used to drive up from Racine a lot. And one of the first things you see coming up the interstate there is that Wheaton Franciscan logo. And there's a good opportunity on the land south of that to take advantage of that. Again, very limited traffic counts in this area. So I think it would be very difficult at this stage to be looking at retail. But there is probably opportunity here for business development. Retail, what does it take? So through some of the Buxton stuff and discussions in the commercial real estate market, the column on the left there outlines what the typical expectations are from a retailer to even look at an area, right? There's a lot of things thereafter that have to work out for them. But what I did was lay out exactly what they're looking for: population within 3 miles, a median income level, daytime populations, and traffic counts. You can see across areas in green as you work from left to right through different development areas within the city. Areas in green are where we meet or exceed that stated requirement from a retailer. Areas in red, we do not. You can see that 76 in Rawson is right now the only area that meets a significant number of those components. Those other areas, we need to have a serious conversation about viability for retail development and how we infuse energy in that area. Thinking about retail demographics and what it takes, retail tends to work best in clusters. That's why I talk about hubs of activity. We talk about destination drivers. You think about Drexel Town Square. There was a lot of conversation about the Myers being a destination driver, Ballpark Commons. There's talks about a sports complex. That's the destination driver that helps increase viability for retail. The $120 million retail sales gap, that's about the amount of money that Franklin residents are spending that's not being absorbed within Franklin stores. Should I think about that a second?
Can we agree to never say that again?
What?
A gap or leakage. I mean, Craig knows that this is my hot button. Of course we got leakage. We got Southridge 2 miles north.
Yeah, you know what? I
got a hot button.
Yeah, you know, I bring it up because it's a market reality, and we want to think about how we capture that. The reality is that most communities never capture it all, right? You know, every time you buy something on Amazon.com or fly to Vegas for your gambling trip,
it's you're spending... okay, Aaron. I like it.
Thanks. Good to know I've got some support. But I put it out there because it's a market reality.
What are your reviews here?
You know, again, residential density is a key component of this. You can think about, for a second there, of those categories on the left, population within 3 miles, daytime populations and traffic count are impacted by residential density. So if we can increase residential density, we're significantly increasing our viability for retail development. Visibility and access, key components. I mean, you know, you talk to Culver's. I was at a conference meeting with somebody from there. They literally pick the side of the street that they want to be on, whether it's the way home side of the street or the way to work side of the street. I mean, to a very fine detail, these folks are doing site selection processes. Frontage setbacks, signage, review processes all have impacts. Industrial development, what does it take? Large, open, developable land, room for growth. Good access for products and employees, good utility infrastructure. Increasingly, we're hearing from manufacturing community, business community, we want good quality internet access, which I discussed with some folks in our business park. And more of that quality of life stuff, even in the manufacturing realm, they're saying, where do we grab lunch, coffee? And those are concerns. We frankly don't have a lot of options in and around our existing business park. So the more we can create viability for retail development, residential density will also contribute to that. We'll better position ourselves to not only attract, but also retain. And that's a key question that we need to be able to put on the table right now for our community. The existing Franklin Business Park, the industrial park next door is full. The business park has sold 56 of the 60 lots. The only remaining lots have some environmental challenges attached to them. They're less than 5 acres in the bottom of the park with the sort of worst access, if you want to look at it that way. They're slated in green on that map up above. This is the thing that scare me the most is when I see a headline like this. This is from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Franklin Company expanding into Oak Creek plans 40 new jobs. My Corville Discovery Group had an opportunity on a building in Franklin, in Oak Creek. They're doing an expansion there. And they've got the potential to double that expansion in the existing building that they're going to be renting in Oak Creek. You can see the quote that I highlighted there in blue from a commercial real estate broker. We looked everywhere, searching for a new building. They wanted to remain in Franklin, but supply and inventory is low.
This was the first place I went as mayor for ribbon cutting. When they expanded their facility, it wasn't the first time, it was like the third expansion in their facility, invited me over for a ribbon cutting. And Mike King said to me, Steve, I want to stay in Franklin. I want to grow here.
You know, and when you look at the zoning map right now.
And this is high-tech stuff. These guys make bioorganisms for waste digesters. They make, this is as high-tech as it gets. And we don't want these people going east. We want them staying right here.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, when you look at the zoning map, there are very few developable sites for business park type uses. And, you know, essentially when I get phone calls from folks within our business park saying they're looking at expansion opportunities, they're doing site evaluation,